name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgive the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I,
a poor miserable sinner,
confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you.
O Lord Jesus Christ, we thank thee that of thine infinite mercy thou hast instituted this thy sacrament, in which we eat thy body and drink thy blood. Grant us, we beseech thee, by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not receive this gift unworthily, but that we may confess our sins, remember thine agony and death, believe the forgiveness of sin, and day by day grow in faith and love, until we obtain eternal salvation through thee, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen.
Our epistle lesson this evening is found in the first chapter of Corinthians, or the 11th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 23rd through the 32nd verse. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Here ends our epistle lesson.
He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 13th chapter of John, the 1st through the 15th verse. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Here ends the gospel.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We sing hymn number 164.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, in God our Father, and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is the Gospel, John chapter 13, verses 1 through 15. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, "You are not all clean." So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master, Teacher, and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, as we consecrate the Lord's Supper, we begin with the words which Paul begins with in our lesson as he introduces the supper. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed. These words remind us week after week that you cannot separate the passion of Jesus from the gifts which he gives to the church on this night. And truly, though we know what follows shortly thereafter, the betrayal and the arrest, the questioning of Jesus, his abuse by the temple guards, this night is dear to every Christian, because it is on this night that Jesus gives us a gift which is more precious than the world itself, a gift which no one can take away from us. And why should the betrayal of Jesus be joined together with the words of institution? Because on that night and the day after, we see the promise of these words immediately fulfilled. That here the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper which we eat and drink is the body which Jesus gave and the blood which he shed for the remission of your sins. This is a gift of purest grace, for what could it be other than grace that Jesus would give to you the body and blood of God? You could not earn such a gift. And how much more is it pure grace that God would place in your mouth the actual body and blood which redeemed you from your sin and death and gave you an eternal inheritance in his kingdom? And yet, what does his supper look like to our eyes? It looks like Jesus on the night of his passion. It is humble. It is a bit of stale bread and a sip of wine. These are ordinary things. So that this supper looks like nothing more than a memorial meal, humble and reverent and meaningful, but that is all it looks like. In a humble form is the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, his glorified body and blood, which, unlike all other flesh and blood, is able to be present in bread and wine, in many places, all at the same time, without diminishing our Lord even a little. Such glory hidden away in such a small package, entirely hidden from human eyes. The supper looks like Jesus on the night that he was betrayed, the night that he took on a towel and girded himself about his waist and washed his disciples' feet. The creator and ruler of the universe bows down before his sinful creation and becomes its servant. And what Jesus did on that night, his supper continues to do for you today. His body and his blood still atone for all your sins, so that you are completely clean. And even though Jesus is Lord of all, he still comes to you in this humble form, and he serves you. Some people object to the whole idea that the Lord's Supper can forgive your sins, can be anything more than bread and wine. After all, if Jesus already died on the cross and already converted you, why then do you need to be forgiven again? That is like saying, if I have already taken a bath yesterday, why do I need to wash my hands today? You are truly clean, and yet your feet still walk in a world of sin. You are a child of God, and yet you still constantly are tempted by the devil. You have been purchased by Jesus' blood, and yet you are still subject to the passions of your flesh. Your sinful nature did not leave you when you were converted. It is still with you, as is the world and the devil. And until you leave this world, or it is burned up with all of its decay, you still need the washing of Jesus. This is what Jesus was trying to teach Peter. As Jesus said, if I wash you not, you have no part with me. Unless your sins are washed by the blood of Jesus, you cannot be saved. And therefore Peter exclaimed, then not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Peter thought that Jesus was merely talking of a physical washing. You must do this ceremony if you will truly enter eternal life. And therefore Jesus responds in good humor, he who has already had a bath only needs to wash his feet, and then he is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all. In other words, you've already been washed, head and hands, Peter. You are washed, and you are cleansed, by baptism, through faith in me. All 12 of Jesus' disciples had been washed in baptism. Here at the Passover, Jesus likewise washed the feet of all 12 disciples. And yet still, one of them was not clean. Judas Iscariot. He was still filthy within and without. Had Jesus washed the head and the hands of Judas, it would not matter, for he was no longer clean at all. He had abandoned his baptism. But the other disciples were indeed washed. They were clean from their sins because they believed on their Lord and teacher Jesus. And therefore Jesus said to them, you are indeed clean. Yet like us, the 11 disciples still lived in a filthy world. They were cleansed and righteous, but their feet still got dirty. Like the washing of the disciples' feet, we need the body and blood of Jesus, which our Lord gives us in his supper. We need the continual cleansing which he has made ours through his suffering and death. We need the word of God to cleanse out the lies of the world and the devil. We need it like we need food, not just once, but regularly and often. For what happens when you cease to bathe? When you will not eat, you grow filthy and you starve. The filth of sin which burdens your conscience just grows greater and greater. Soon, you reach the point that you believe that none of God's promises can possibly be for you. You do not even feel worthy to appear before him, to hear his word, to taste and see his body and blood, because you have forgotten that it is not your worthiness but his grace that calls you there. And so your shame and your separation grows greater and greater. And it is not just dust on your feet, but it soon overtakes your entire person. And finally, to mix metaphors, the last glowing ember of your faith dies out. That is why you need the continual washing which Jesus brings to you in his word and in his body and blood given and shed for you.
For this.
It is hard to imagine that Jesus could come to you in bread and wine in this way. You cannot see his body and blood because he is glorified. You cannot see his body and blood because he is glorified, and his body and blood partake of all of the properties of his divine nature, so that he can be with you always, even when you cannot see him. You can taste bread and wine, and the wafer and the cup seem no different before and after the consecration. Yet if you would doubt that it can really be as Jesus says, that this bread is his body and that this cup is his blood, just remember that this is no more extraordinary than that this man who is washing the disciples' feet is the Almighty God and Creator of the universe. In truth, you cannot doubt the promise and word of Jesus without also doubting his own person and nature. If God can appear in human flesh and wash your feet, what is so difficult about him becoming him, sending his body and blood to you in bread and wine? And if it still seems to you that it cannot be that God would choose to have his body and blood be present in bread and wine for you to eat and drink, that it is not right that he so humiliate himself, then just remember that this is no humiliation at all for our Lord Jesus to give us such a gift as this. It is no sacrifice, and he does not suffer. All of that was finished upon the cross. Quite the contrary, in this supper, the glory and majesty of God is on display. That Jesus can actually do what he says and have his body and blood be with us in this way is a demonstration of his glorious nature, that inexpressible mystery of godliness, that God is manifest in the flesh of his Son, Jesus Christ. And yet, because of his love for you, he does not want you to approach him in that great glory, unmasked. Instead, he wants you to find him in his body and blood, which he gave and shed for the forgiveness of your sins. He chooses to still deal with you, even today, as your humble servant, so that to this day he can wash you completely, so that you are clean every bit. And if this is how Jesus has come to deal with you, then what a privilege to walk in his footsteps and to do as he says, to become the servants of one another. And that is truly what this supper is. You come together here not alone, but with the whole church of God. If there were no church on earth, there would not be any supper for you to take and eat. You would not have pastors and brethren who give you the body and blood of Jesus, and in countless other ways serve you with the love with which God loved us in his Son. To partake of the supper together is truly to feed one another, to be joined as one flesh and blood with the entire family of God. When Jesus took a towel and girded himself and washed his disciples' feet, he showed you that what he did on that night and what he accomplished on his cross on the following day should not remain on that one Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday some 2,000 years ago, but be continued generation after generation, serving one another with the love of Jesus, with his word and with his baptism and with his body and blood, and with all of the fruits of faith which flow from him, your love toward one another, your mutual admonition and hope, your prayers, your rejoicing, your giving of thanks. This is what it means to be the church on earth, to serve and be served the love of Jesus, and to continue to partake of the fruits of his passion and death, and to give to one another these blessings. Just as Jesus promised and just as he bid his disciples, so we do. For we love our Lord Jesus. We love the body and blood which has forgiven all our sins and by which he continues to come among us. And though our old nature is still with us and would like to hold grudges, to withhold that love from one another, to hate or even to kill, the body and blood of Jesus is sufficient to drown the old man of sin, not only in you, but also in all those who sin against you. And if you have received such wondrous compassion from our Lord and Teacher, such that he became your servant, then how small a thing indeed it is to serve your brothers and sisters by forgiving them their sins against you, to serve them with the love of Jesus, even as Jesus has served you. For what is any fault in any brother, any sin he might have committed against you, compared to the great debt of your own sin, which Jesus has so richly and graciously forgiven by his blood? So then let us cherish the night in which Jesus was betrayed, the night that he gave you a sacrament which binds you all together into one holy Christian church, and by which you continue to serve one another with his love. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Father, we give thee hearty thanks that through thy Son, Jesus Christ, thou hast for our good instituted the blessed sacrament of the Holy Supper, wherein in consecrated bread and wine, he truly gives us his body to eat and his blood to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. And we beseech thee, grant us thy grace, that we may at all times be truly worthy and well prepared to receive this gift, and order our lives aright until we shall finally obtain eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn number 313.
Oh,
The Lord be with you. Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, who on the tree of the cross didst give salvation unto mankind, that whence death arose, thence life also might rise again, and that he who by a tree once overcame might likewise by a tree be overcome, through Christ our Lord, through whom with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God, Hosanna. Temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. O Christ, the Lamb of God, that takest away the sin.
take and eat, this is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. We sing hymn number 51.
Thank you.
be with you.
And with my spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.